The third parsha Amar, it's a very hard Aliyah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber El Aaron Vilbona Vil Kol Bnei Yisrael V'yamar Talehem Ish Ish Mi Beis Yisrael Umin Hager Bi Yisrael Asher Yaakov Kavanu L'chol Nidrayhem U'L'chol Nidvayisam Asher Yaakovu L'Hashem L'Oilas. It's a very long pasuk. It's a very, very unusually long pasuk. It's very wordy, very verbose. And, you know, the trap is very hard. It's very hard to lay in this pasuk because it's very confusing. What the pasuk will, the sequence of the trap, the Tameh HaMikra, does not flow well. What does this mean? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi, pasuk Yitches. Rashi doesn't say very much. Such a long pasuk. And Rashi, for whatever reason, decided not to say very much. Rashi says, Nidrehem. What is Nidrehem? Harei Olai. Nidvay Sam Harei Zu. Okay, so all he says over here, Rashi over here just says a more of a halachic comment. What is the difference between a neder and a nedav? This is a very popular topic in the Gemara. A neder, you bear responsibility. If a person is obligated to bring a neder, and he designates an animal as his carbon, and the animal gets lost, so the person who promised to bring a neder has no choice but to replace it. If he sets aside an animal that's worth $1,000, and the animal gets lost, so he has no choice. He has to go bring another animal as a replacement. That's a neder. There is responsibility to replace it. Whereas, a nedava, there is no responsibility. In the event the animal gets lost, I designate this animal as a nedava. As long as the animal is alive, it is my duty to offer it as a sacrifice. But if something happens to the animal, it gets lost, it gets stolen, it dies, I bear no responsibility. That is the difference between a neder and a nedava. And Rashi, that's the only comment Rashi makes on this pasuk. It says here the word nidrehem and nidvosam. A neder is harei olai. I have an obligation. The obligation rests upon me, the person. I have to do this no matter what. And nidvosam is harei zu. The obligation is upon the object. And as we explained, the difference is the responsibility. It's like the classic. This is the classic of classics. To describe the lamdashal terminology, the gavra and the cheftza, brisk. Well, the brisk approach is to, you know, to break down the Talmud into a science and give everything a term, rules. A neder is the cheftza. I'm sorry. Neder is the gavra. The neder is the gavra. The obligation falls upon me, the person. Until I fulfill the obligation, I bring the carbon, I have an obligation. The obligation is upon the person, the gavra. Whereas, a nedava, the obligation is upon the object, the cheftza. Cheftza means the object, gavra means the person. This lamdasha terminology, and the briskas they use this all over Shas, but probably the most classic example that's in the Torah of a gavra versus a cheftza is a neder versus a nedava. A nedava is the chefza, and a neder is the gavra. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Now let's see the Targum. Targum, we have this pasuk Yitzayin says, "Malel Hashem Meshul Reimar pasuk Yitches Malel Im Aaron V'Im Benohi V'Im Kol Bnei Yisrael V'Seimar Lohoin." Say to them the following: Gevar Gevar, Ishish Mi Beis Yisrael Umin Min Giyorayo Bi Yisrael Di Korev Kur Bonei, who offered a sacrifice. L'chol nidrei hoin, u'l'chol nidvos hoin, di karvun kodom Hashem la'alosa. Okay, so it says over here that anyone, any Jewish man amongst the Jewish people who offers a sacrifice, whether it's from the category of a neder, or it's from the category of a nedava, which you offer before Hashem, la'alosa as a karbon oila. There is not really much comment over here in the Targum. Nothing that really draws our attention. I'll give a quick look at the Mefarish over here on the side in the Pasuk Yitches. what he has to say over here. Tezayin, I'm looking over here. Do I see anything? Min Giora, Hager B'loshen Rabbim, because of a min. Okay, no comment. No comment. Next pasuk. Pasuk Yutes. Lir Tzol Nechem Tamim Zohar. So it's telling us the rule. When you bring a neder nedav, it has to be number one. Lir Tzol Nechem. It has to be with will, good will. Tamim Zohar, no blemishes, a male animal. Babakar, ba kisavim uvoizim. And this is a very nice pasuk because this pasuk tells us that there are only three types of animals that you bring as a korban. Every korban you bring is either going to be called from the bakar family, or it's from the keves family, or it's from the goat family. And that's the total world. You know, let me go get right now my article Chumash. They have a beautiful picture. And they break all the categories, but I'm just going to let me get it. Alright, here's the article. I have the article Chumash. Let me see what we have in the back. In the back, they have some really, really good stuff. Okay, let's see what we got over here. Oh, okay. It's a really Bokar Tzon. Alright. You can't really see the picture. Do you have in front of you your phone, right? So I could take your picture and send it to you, correct? So let me do that. Let me send you the picture, and we can discuss this because it's very, very good. This is excellent. You want always an opportunity to learn this. So I'll send it to both of you. Let me first take a picture. Try to get a good picture of this. Of the page. Oops, I took the wrong link. All right, well, here we go. All right, I don't know how good it's going to be, but let me send it to Rabbi Lazer. Ablaze, how does your what's your telephone number? On your smartphone. I can't hear you. Ablaze, you're on mute. Ablaze, you're on mute. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
718.
9 8 6 3 2 I got it. Okay, I got it. Okay, I sent you something. And Ms. Gladders, I'll send you as well. Oh, you can't see it now.
I'm on the phone, so I'm not.
Okay. No, so you can do it. You can just while you're on the phone, you can, while it's on, it's, you can still look at it. If you okay. You know how to do it, you're not going to disconnect. If you can't do, you see it? Okay, let me just send to Gladders.
What do I look for? WhatsApp?
Yeah, what's the number on your phone, Ms. Gladder?
917-371-2628.
I got you, okay? Okay, I send you a picture.
Where are I going to look at?
In your WhatsApp. You don't have to turn off the phone. You don't have to stay on the phone. Nothing in it.
Okay,
I think I lost Laser. I lost him. I think he, by mistake, he probably turned it off by mistake.
Thank you. Okay.
So we here in this picture it shows you the Kol Bali. Oh, you know, maybe I should just put it on the screen. You know what? That would be a good idea. I'll put it on the screen. Let's see if I can put it on the screen. Photo. That's what I should have done. Wow. I'm gonna put it on the screen.
Oh.
I should have done that to begin with.
I wonder how you got the picture back. How would you?
I should have done that to begin with, because I'm not with my computer now, my regular computer, so it's a little bit different. Photo. Let's see if I know how to do this photo.
Okay. I got it.
Just give me 1 second to get... Oh, I don't... Oh, wait 1 second. Just give me 1 second, okay? It's worth it. This is a good picture to learn about. Reblazer, we lost you there for a second. What happened? I got a little snare.
I only see an E. I don't see you.
Right, okay. Now, okay, I'm back. Okay, you see me now? What happened
okay,
to
now
me?
I...
Okay. Just give me 1 second to bring up. Lila, put it on the screen. Just give me a second to figure out how to do this. I'm almost done.
No problem.
I have to email it to myself. I did that. And now let me just get it up on the screen. Let's 1 second. Okay, good. I got it here on the screen. I'm going to download it. And then put it up. All right, and now let's go back to this. Do a share screen. And we have a photo. Hopefully it'll be here somewhere. File manager. Downloads. Oh, here it is. Baruch Hashem, we got it. Oh, it's on the screen. You see it on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is in the Art Scroll Chumash. And they show you all the different types of possible animals that you use. Now, over here they have a bokar and tsoin.
This is the
back of the art school Hebrew only chumash. This is, you know the stone edition, the English one? The stone edition?
We have that.
Right, so they put out a couple of years ago, they the stone edition in Hebrew. In Hebrew only. And the back, in the back, it's only in the Hebrew. And in the back, they put all these pictures and charts. They put incredible things there in the back. The Mishkan, they have a lot of things in the back. So here in the back, they have this nice little chart. It's a fantastic chart. And they show you all the different types of korbanos, which include bokar v'tzoyin. When this, our pasuk, we little bit, our pasuk, we cover an oil, it says, v'tzadachem tamim b'bokar b'ki sovim uvo'izim. So there are only three different types of animal you can bring. There is bokar, and there is kisavim and izim. Now, kisavim and izim are grouped together in the category called tsoin. Okay, tsoin is a general word, is a word which encompasses both kisavim and izim. So first, let's look at the bokar. A bokar, there are three different types of bokar that are brought as korbanos. Now, an animal, when it's very, very young, until the end of the first year is called an egel. It's the same exact animal. When an animal is within its first year, it's called an egel. And they show you the picture on the right side. It's this black and white animal. When the animal is 13 months old, that same animal, if it is a male, it's called a par, and if it's a female, it's called a para. So we need a para aduma in order for the ashes, for tahara. And on Yom Kippur, the Kohen brings a par, a male. Sometimes the Torah is very, very machmir, you have to bring either a male or a female. But that's, the animal has to be at least 13 months old. And until it's 12 months old, it's called an egel or an egla, like an egla arufa. Or there are certain karbanos that you must bring an egel. The egel and the par are exactly the same. Now this category also is called a shor. Whenever you hear the term an axe, a shor is another word for bokar. It's the same exact thing. Sometimes we use the word bokar, and sometimes we use a shor, an axe. An axe is a general term which includes the entire spectrum, males, females, when they're young, and when they get old. And there is one thing that's in between, and that's in between 12 months and 13 months. Between 12 months and 13 months, it's called a kalbos, and it's nishtahi nishtaher. So if the Torah wants you to bring an egel, egla rufa, or the Torah wants you to bring in an egel for a karbon, or the Torah wants you to bring in whatever it is, an egel or an egla, it's only good until the animal is 12 months old. Once the animal is 12 months old, then it's invalid. But it's not yet fit to be brought as a par for any carbon that we need a par until it's 13 months old. So in between 12 months and 13 months, it's called a kalbos. Now that's the category of bokar, and again, bokar includes a shor. A shor is the same exact thing as a bokar. Bokar is a term which encompasses the entire spectrum, males, females, from less than 1 year old through more than 1 year old. And the rabbinic term, it's not rabbinic, it's really in the Torah as well, a shor, it's the same exact thing. What's the difference? Why do sometimes we say bokar or some shor? I don't know. I don't know why we switch them around in the Torah. Okay, next. Now comes the next category. Now a shor or a bokar is called a behema gasa. These are very large, violent, powerful animals. It's a very large animal. Bokar, when it grows, it gets massive. It's a massive animal. That is a category of, it's called a behema gasa, a large animal. And then there's the category of a behema daka, small animals that are brought as korbanos. And the category of behema daka, there are two different types. There are kivosim and there are izim. There's sheep and goats. So here in this picture, if you enlarge it, I don't know if you can see how good you can see it on the screen, there is on the left side is a keves. A keves is also until the end of its first year. Until the end of its first year, it's called a keves. When it's 13 months old, it's then called an ayil. It's called an ayil, or in the parentheses, it's very, very good in the parentheses, it's called a keves zohar. Sometimes in the Torah refers to a keves that's an adult, that's 13 years old, as a keves zohar. It's 13 months old, and the Torah is very specific what kind of carbon it wants us to bring. Sometimes it wants us to bring, the age. It's either in ayil, usually the carbon chatas for the carbonos sibar is an ayil lechatas. And that's the animal you're looking at over here in this picture. This animal, it looks like it's a very beautiful animal. You can see the wool, it has all this wool. It's 13 months old and it has this very interesting expression on its face. And that's a male keves over the age of 13 months old. Now on the left side, there is a so'ir. It's a different min, or a se'ira. Male. Now, by the way, you go back to the beginning, and on the right side, the keves, there's a male and a female. There's a keves and a kivsa. A carbon pesach can only be a male, a keves. Okay, there are times when you bring a carbon chatos, you can bring a kivsa, a female, and the ayil is always male. I don't think you ever bring an ayola as a carbon. When you bring an adult, you only bring the ayil, the male, you never bring the female. But the less than 12 months old, then you can bring either a keves or a kivsa. Now on the left side, they show you a different category called called an aiz, a goat. A goat is a different min, a different creature. The only thing it has in common with the keves is that the sheep is that they're both called the behemah daka. They're called small animals, and it's either going to be a male or a female. When it's a male, it's called a sa'ir, a seir izim, or seiras izim, a seira, or a sa'ir. But it has to usually be less than 1 year old. When the Torah says a sa'ir, the sa'ir lechatos, that has to be an adult, and that's over the age of 13 years old. So basically, looking over here on this page, in the total category of kinds of animals, there is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The total range of types of animals that you bring as a korban on the Mizbeach, the grand total is 10. How did I get the number 10? Because there's an egel and an egla. That's two. That's when they're babies. And then there's a par and the para. So that's a total of four. The tzoin, you can have a keves. So they're not showing you over here the female keves. There's the keves and the kivsa. That's another two. That's six. And then when it's an adult, it's called an ayil. Where you do bring an ayil. Do you ever bring an ayala? I don't think you ever bring an ayala. So therefore you have the keves, that's going to be six. And then you have the ayil is seven. And then you have the goats. There is the male and the female when they're less than 12 months old. And then the adult is only brought as a male. I don't think you ever bring a seira, a female adult, as a carbon. You only bring the male as an adult. So sach hakol, there's a grand total. If they ever go and they get in jeopardy and they ask you how many different types of animals, sach hakol, categories of animals can be offered on the Mizbeach, Ms. Gladys, you're going to know the answer is 10. And they're going to say, how did you know that? Because you learned it here. You learned it over here in Rashi and Unkelashir. Okay, so now we go back to our pasuk. It's a very good pasuk. Then on the bottom, which is not relevant for us now, they show you the different types of birds, the Toyla and the Bnei Yoina. Okay, that's not relevant for us. Okay, so let's now go back to our shir, our pasuk. Turn off this thing over here. Okay, let's now go back to our pasuk. Pasuk Yotes, over here it says you're going to do a carbon oila. A carbon oila, you have a lot of leeway. If a person wants to bring to the Beis HaMikdash a voluntary offering, the pasuk says liritzoy nechem, you should bring it with will, you should have a desire to bring it. Tamim zachar, it has to be without any blemishes. It has to be a male. That's interesting. If a person wants to bring a voluntary offering, you can bring whatever you want, but it must be a male animal, no blemishes, and it can come from any one of the three different types of animals, whether it's going to be the bokar, that's an egel or an egla, no, only an egel or a par, or kvasim, that's going to be the keves, or from the goat family, an aiz, and it can be either a baby or an adult. That's what doesn't say anything that has to be with, does not say that it has to be within the first year. Any age you want, you can be a carbon, a neder, or a dove. Now let's see over the Rashi. Rashi over here says, why does the word litzonchem? He view dove a royal ratzois eschem lefornai, she he lechem lerotzai. Bring me something that is fitting to find favor, that you shall find favor before me, and Hashem should find it acceptable. Then he writes over an old French word, I don't know what that means. The Ezehu HaRoy L'Ratzayin, what is Roy L'Ratzayin? What is fitting? Tamim, it has to be without a blemish. Zohar male, Babokar, Bakis Savim, Uve Izim, Avol Be'oilas Ha'oif, Ein Tzarech Tamus V'Zachvus, Ve'ein Nifsal B'mum Ela B'chasar Neiver. Okay, so it's not really true. He also mentions that you can bring birds. You can bring birds if you so wish as an offering to Hashem, as a voluntary gift to Hashem. And the reason why it's not included in this pasuk is because in this pasuk we're only mentioning the requirement that it has to be a male without any blemish. And that those requirements are not true They're not necessary when it comes to birds. A bird can be a male or a female. And a bird, even if there's a blemish, it's okay, as long as the bird is not missing a complete limb. So Rashi is really asking a very good question, because if you take this pasuk at face value, you'd be misled to believe that if a person wants to bring to the Beis HaMikdash a gift to Hashem in the category of a neder or a nedav, which means whether he wants to take responsibility to replace it in case it gets lost or dies, or something goes wrong with it, the pasuk simply says you have to bring an animal, and the animal includes three different types of species. Either it's going to be from the bakar category, or from the keves category, or from the ace category. And birds, it doesn't say. Birds would imply that you're not letting ring. That's not a valid thing to bring as a gift to Hashem. Along comes Rashi, and there's no such thing. If you want to give a gift to Hashem, you can bring birds as well. The only difference is a bird does not have all of the requirements that animals have. Animal has a requirement that it has to be a male, and it has to be without a blemish. And the reason why the Torah mentions this is to tell us, is to say, you don't need this. Again, the Rashi, l'ritzonchem, first of all, bring something that is fitting to find favor, that what you offer shall find favor for Hashem. Tamim zach b'bakar b'kasavim u'v'izim aval b'oilas ha'oif, ein tzarech tamos ha'zachros, ve'ein oin nifsal b'mum, and it's not going to be defective with the blemish. Ella, the only thing that's defective by a bird if it's missing a limb. What does the Targum say? Pasuk Yutes, L'rava. That's a very beautiful word. L'rava means it should be desirable. L'choin, shalim, it should be complete, that's a tam. D'char, it should be a male. B'toraya, okay, Torah means an axe. B'imraya, a sheep. Uvi'izayah, a goat. Let's see if over here on the bottom it says anything interesting. It says l'ra'ava, m'dalik targim l'ra'aschoyin, mashma shemefarish, l'ra'atzach shakam yeh l'ra'atzach lochem, compares Rashi. R'der l'ashnakash l'kamon, v'unkulis d'alik v'teres koyarim kan, l'ra'atzachem shiakrivu miritzoynam. Okay, so he's saying over here something very important. The Targum over here is saying that something which not really sheds on a Rashi. This is what the Targum. The Targum says l'rava. When it says here the word l'ritzoynchem, it appears that there is a disagreement amongst the commentators as to what exactly that means l'ritzoynchem. According to some of the commentators, it means that when the person brings the animal to the Beis HaMikdash, he has to express himself that he's not being forced to do this. I'm doing this out of my own free will. No one here is forced. L'ratzon means it's my desire. What would happen if a person was forced to bring the carbon? A person, someone forced him. How do you force a person? There are many ways you can force people. You can physically force them, or you can, let's say, you put you to shame. Everyone's had the experience where they're in shul, and you're in shul, and they're what are they doing in shul? And they're having an appeal. And you would never have given one penny to the cause, but because you're in shul, they're holding you up. It's a hostage situation. And all of your buddies are giving $100, $50, $200, chai. So you don't want to be cheap. You don't want to be nasty. All right, I'll also give $18. Do you really want to give that money? No, you don't. You don't want to give that money. Why are you giving it? You're being put to shame. That's not called Ratzon. So if you were to translate the word Ratzon, it means that you have to give it out of your own free will. And if you're being forced, if someone is coercing you to bring this carbon, then it's not valid. The carbon would be invalid. And that indeed is how some of the commentators translate the word Ratzon Nechem. When you bring the carbon, you have to test yourself. Am I doing this for free will? Or am I being forced to do this? Along comes the Targum, and he disagrees. The Targum does not, because if that's what it really means, the pasuk should say, L'ra'as choin. L'ra'as choin means your free will. That's not what it says. It says L'ra'ava, which means that the animal should be something that is considered to be choshev. It's considered to be is considered to be fitting in the eyes of society. Okay, it has to be something which society considers to be appropriate. When you go somewhere, when you give a gift, you don't go. When a person comes to you, let's say you're a guest, someone's home for Shabbos, you go away for a simcha. No one comes to their host and presents them with a box of toothpicks. Thank you so much for hosting me for Shabbos, for the simcha. I want to give you a gift. I picked this up in a Chinese store on Avenue M, next to the Judaica store. A little box of toothpicks. It costs 99 cents. This is the gift I want to give you for being my host. No one does that. That's foolish. It's nonsense. If you don't want to give a gift, no one's going to have a complaint. But if you give a gift, you give a bottle of wine. You give, I don't know, you buy a little platter of fruit, of chocolate. There's a certain acceptable protocol standard of what you give as a gift. So that's what the Targum says. He does not say, L'Rav HaSchon, that you have to give it out of free will, but he says you give something that is considered to be fitting, appropriate, according to the standards of society. What happens if someone twisted your arm and said, if you don't bring the carbon, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make your life miserable if you don't bring the carbon. I want, I want to show off. I want, you're part of my family. I want people to see that my family were very doing karbanos. According to Rashi, you are yoytze lechatchila the carbon. Even though someone forced you to bring the carbon, it's not free will. You've been coerced for any crazy reason. You yoytze the carbon because that's not what it means. L'ritzon chem. All the word l'ritzon chem means is that the carbon is a carbon that is fitting in the eyes of society, and the Torah tells us what's called l'ritzon chem, a keves, an ace, or bakar. But according to other commentators, no, that's not what it means. The word l'ritzon chem is a litmus test. Did you do bring this out of your own free will? If the answer is no, then you're not going to be yoytze the carbon. So that's what the Unkelus says. And that's really what Rashi is elaborating upon. Rashi elaborates in many words. He viewed dovar, an object, harohoi l'ratzos eschem l'fonai. Shehei yitei l'chem l'ratzon. You see, it's beautiful. If not for the Unkelus, I read the Rashi. I don't know, I just gloss over the Rashi. What does Rashi really mean? I don't know, don't bother me. But then when I read the Unkelus says the word l'ra'ava, which also to me doesn't mean anything. And then I read over here the commentator on the bottom of the page, on the Sefer, it says, wait a minute, what did the Targum say? L'ra'ava, that's not the way you translate l'ritzon chem. It should be l'ra'avas choin, your desire. And the fact that the Targum did not translate l'ra'avaschon, but translate l'ra'ava, he's hinting to us, is that it's not referring to the person, it's referring to the object. And even if you are bringing it against your will, it doesn't matter. It's kosher. Now when we go back to Rashi, we have a much greater appreciation of what Rashi says. Rashi, in essence, is trying to explain the depth behind what Unkelus said, when he said l'ra'ava and did not say l'ra'avaschon. All right, that is a nice limud. Okay, we're going to stop here. Thank you very much for coming, Blazer. Thank you. Regards to your grandson, Peret Shalom. And Mr. and Ms. Glatter, thank you for coming very much. Have a good night. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for giving the share.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.